Milo's Pro Rewards members. Save big during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Get your member volume discount plus an extra 5% off eligible orders with a quote of $2,000 or more. And buy more and save more with up to 20% off in-stock molding when you spend $250 or more. Members get more at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Can't be combined with any contract or special pricing. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit the Pro Desk or Lowe's.com/terms for more details. Subject to change.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. And
yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, whose feet are making mysterious stepping sounds through the halls late at night? That's what we'll talk about today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, become a supporter, an EPP, extra podcast person, as we call them, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to help keep our show on the air. We would greatly appreciate that. Got the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, commercial free, all of that there waiting for you to help keep the show on the air and get all of the extras in exchange. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode. I saw a wolf today.
A wolf?
Yes. I was driving through the Ozark.
Not a coyote.
No, it was I would say I'm probably 98% sure it was a wolf. I was driving through some back roads this morning. I had to go get a rototiller fixed. And the place I had to go to was like way out in the country. And as I was driving out there, I saw this animal kind of on the side of the road in the distance. I got closer and closer and closer. And as I got closer, then it, of course, decided, oh, as the vehicle gets closer, now is the time to run into the road. And then it did right then. And I'd slowed down enough to not remotely hit it, but I could identify it. And it was not a coyote. It was big. And it was a wolf. And it, it crossed, and it was it's a beautiful creature. It was a big animal, and it just, you know, kind of ran across the road and into the woods, and I watched it, and I'm like, that was kind of cool. That was a big dog. And he went, you know, just did his thing.
And they move differently than a regular dog.
They
do. It's just this, it's like, it is that weird. What is that? Or in coyotes are the same way.
There's a gracefulness to the nature of their, you know, kind of just being out there in the wild of whatever that is.
I always love when I see something like that.
Yeah. It was neat. And he was big. And so, I mean, unless it was a giant coyote, which maybe, I mean, impossibly.
Well, you would have wolves.
We do. And I hear them every now and then. I hear coyotes all the time, but I also hear wolves too. And there's a distinct difference between the two howls. And so I know they're around here. And he was just out there, you know, I mean, I was in a very, very wooded area, so it wasn't very odd. He was probably just, you know, wandering around, and I just happened to catch him on a remote road, and there he was. It was a wolf. And it was kind of cool to see.
Like, I know there's coyotes in my neighborhood, which I'm not really excited about that.
Which is kind of weird in a city.
Which might, I don't know if a coyote could have jumped a 6-foot fence and killed the raccoon that one day. Maybe that's what it was.
It could, in theory.
I still think it was probably a fox.
Or there's a vampire in your neighborhood.
Or it's the Murder, She Said creature.
You have something living in there.
Right?
Yeah.
That wants blood.
You have a chupacabra farm going on in your Murder,
great.
She Said.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
One more thing.
Carol's raising chupacabras. That would be a funny post to make, like on a Facebook like message group or something, like chupacabras
for like, sale.
For sale.
Like, just had
your breeding
chupacabra
them.
Had babies. They'll be ready to go in 8 weeks.
I almost want to do that. Just
it'd
to
be
see
funny
the reaction.
To post that on that. Oh, you know, the neighborhood website it's like my neighborhood, and everybody's always posting random stuff. Yeah. Like, oh, look, somebody walked past my house.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, by the way, neighbors.
That would be fucking hilarious.
It's funny.
I so want to do that.
Don't tell your daughter, because she will do it.
I know. And the thing is, I'll alienate my, because I'll find it hilarious. Everyone else will be like, what the fuck is that? Huh? Whoa. Like, it's funny. It's
like a joke.
It's satire. Like, what's satire?
I want one of them babies when they're ready to go.
Is one of them named Satire? No, it's a fucking, yeah, anyway. 855-853.
Sure would like to have one of them.
Can you eat them? If you raise them long enough, do they taste like chicken? 855-853.
No, you take them to agility class. And socialize them at socialization hours at PetSmart.
That would be another one. Agility classes for chupacabras, where you just like post the lesson, where it's like, bring your chupacabras into the lessons Wednesdays at 7:30, you know, next to the Home Depot in the parking lot of the Aldi or something.
That would be funny.
Just see who shows up with like some mangy dogs that they think are chupacabras. I think it's a chupacabra. I found him up behind
Did you get that at Petland?
I got this one behind the old still of my grandpa out here on the field. And Peepaw, we said it was a chupacabra.
He's like, I don't know what that is. But it's bought it from some woman.
It's like a hairless poodle.
Carol Hughes. I saw her on that neighborhood website.
It was Neighborhood Watch, I think.
I was watching. I seen the post. I was like, I'd like to have one of them.
I want one of them chupacabras. Extra tasty crispy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, If you watch the documentary about the West Memphis 3, Paradise Lost on HBO, you'd almost would not be surprised if some people in the state that I live in, of Arkansas, would not do that because it doesn't paint a pretty picture sometimes of the mental acuity of a lot of people in this state. But I have to say, in my area, it's kind of a bubble. It's not quite like that, but I think you go outside of the bubble, you get right back to Paradise Lost. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first letter. It says, hey guys, I was listening to one of your recent episodes, or at least recent as of mid-December of 2020. In the episode, Tony brought up Dan Aykroyd's show where he played a preacher and mentioned seemingly remembering a show that aired on TGIF around this time about a ghost or such a character coming back. I wanted to say the only show around that time I can think of that even somewhat resembles that description was a show called Teen Angel, which had a teenaged boy dying after eating a several-month-old hamburger and returning to his best friend's as his best friend's guardian angel. I'm not sure if that's a show you were trying to think of, but it's the only show that comes to mind. Well, thank you for that. I have no recollection of that show. Do you have any recollection of Teen Angel?
No, I don't. I kind of remember the podcast when we were talking about it. I think it was you and me talking about that.
I swear to God, there was a sitcom where Dan Aykroyd was like a preacher or something. And he was, I don't know. I want to say there was like the half the family was go. I don't know. I'll Google it when you're talking next time or during the next call and see if I can find any more evidence of the show existing or if it's some weird memory of mine from the 90s that's the Mandela effect or something. Anyway, continuing on that said, after listening to the show for some time now, I wanted to share one of quite a few experiences I've had over the years. My family seems to have had a long history of experiencing paranormal activity. My mother, for instance, has claimed to have had woken up one night as a child to see a shadow person standing over her bed. I do not know if we could have, if we could be said to be sensitive. The suggestion has been made to me in the past, but this experience happened to me back in 2004 when I was 18. That night I had gotten home from seeing the Dawn of the Dead remake in theaters with a friend. Being the night all I was, around midnight, I took a late night shower before heading to bed. To paint you a picture first, as it pertains to the story, the house my parents and I lived in, we were the very first people to ever live in the house. My bedroom was on the south side of the house, whereas my parents' bedroom was on the opposite side of the house. We have a open floor plan in that kitchen, dining room, and living room are effectively one large connected section of the house with no separating walls. I can be from my bathroom into the living room through a tiny hallway by literal 3 or 4 footsteps. As said, the layout of this area of our house is important to this event. After taking a shower, I was drawing off in my bathroom and had my bathroom door opened. I was drawing off. A noise caught my attention. I stopped, listened, and heard nothing. Thinking it was my imagination, I shrugged it off and went back to drawing off. That's until I heard some sort of noise again. This time, sure, I had heard something. I stopped to listen. Again, a few seconds went by with nothing else happening. Then the noise started up again, and it did not take long to realize what it was. Footsteps. Or specifically, the footsteps sounded like someone with boots on slowly walking or scuffling their heels against the floor. And to make it worse, the footsteps were coming in my direction. It sounded as if the footsteps started at the edge between the kitchen and the dining room. And I counted something between 6 and 9 footsteps before the noise stopped. Right at the entranceway of the hallway facing my bathroom. Not thinking twice, I threw some clothes on under and hurried to my parents' bedroom. They were both sound asleep at the time. It was the only other person in the house. To this day, that was the one and only time I ever heard fewer than that. But believe it or not, it was the only time I experienced activity like this. I will send these stories in at another time. Thanks for the show. I hope it eventually makes it on the air. Thoughts?
You know, I think we just talked about this last week or the week before, but talking about watching a movie and then something weird happening after the movie.
Sure.
And Dawn of the Dead, I saw that a really long time ago, but it totally freaked me out.
Which one? Because there's two. She mentioned the 2004.
Like, I would remember that.
Okay.
So I don't know, honestly. I don't even remember.
There was two.
What the movie's about.
They're in the mall. They're in the mall.
Okay.
There was two versions. They're both George A. Romero films, but there was one that was made in like the 80s. That would have been probably more you. And mine was the one she was talking about in 04, because I was probably 22 or so, 23, when the second one. And I remember going and seeing that one at the theater, too, and being kind of freaked out, too.
But do you think, like, if nothing really had happened like that before, nothing since, mm-hmm. and then you had seen that movie?
Yeah.
Because you get super sensitive when you see something that really scares you. Now, that said, that doesn't explain why you would hear footsteps walking.
No.
Now, in my life, that could just be someone messing with me.
Like, sure.
She would just see a scary movie. Let's scare the shit out of Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that kind of stuff happen. But I don't know. I mean, I do think it's kind of weird that she would have seen that movie and heard that.
And footsteps are a very distinct sound. I mean, you can be in your house. I hear noises all the time, but my house is like super, it's a new house. It's 3 years old. So it's crazy insulated well, because newer houses are just super insulated. So what you end up having is the airflow, it slams doors very quickly and easily. So if you have a loose door or something, it'll just shut because the air kicks on and boom, the air pressure just does that stuff. And you know what it is, you know, after you're in the house for a couple of days, okay, the doors are doing that because of the air pressure, not a big deal. But footsteps are very different. And that's a distinct sound. That's not a door closing. That's not a, you know, something turning on. It's you know what that sounds like.
Right.
And when you know that and you're hearing that, there's not a lot of ways to you know, explain that away. That pets don't sound like that. There's not a lot that sounds like human footsteps.
You know, and if she ruled out everything else.
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody walking around the house.
It's, I think, you know, it's one of those where you kind of almost want to find some other reason for it, but you just know at the end of the day, there's not. It is what it is.
Or maybe you just tell yourself. It's like, I'm sure Dad was up walking around.
Maybe, yeah. Until you're like, oh, Dad's been dead for years. You know?
Oh, crap, I forgot about that.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it's an interesting thing, though, too, when you're kind of in that sleep state, because I think there's a lot that goes on those first, you know, 18 years of life as well, as far as imprinting in your mind sounds, because you're there. And a lot of those routines do not change for many of us, of parents and stuff around us. And here's the sounds that you hear over and over and over. And I had some of those, and one of those, and I've talked about this on the show before, was the sound of my dad's vehicle leaving the driveway, the gravel crunching under his vehicle as he backed out of the driveway at like 7:30 in the morning, and then backing out, and then stopping, and then going forward and accelerating. And there's just a very specific sound to that. And I had moved out of that house at 18, and I, for the next 5 to 10 years, on and off, would still hear that sound every morning at about 7:30. I'd wake up and I think I was hearing that sound. I'm in an apartment. I'm in a house. I'm in a this. I'm in a, so many different places that I lived over those years, but I would still hear that. And it was so ingrained in my mind that my mind was telling me I was hearing, and I was in that state of not being quite awake and not being quite asleep. But my mind was somehow expecting to hear it, so it played it back. So I think that can sometimes come into play as well, depending on the time of day you're hearing these sort of things and what exactly it is. There's a certain amount of muscle memory with the mind and sounds that will replay itself. But if that's not part of your muscle memory and it just kind of randomly shows up, then you're talking about something completely different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. I mean, even to this day, I mean, I can't tell you the last time I heard that, But I'd say maybe once in these days, I don't know, maybe once every 2 years, I'll have a morning where I wake up and still hear that sound. I'm like, well, that was weird. That's been a long time, but it's still there. It's, you know, it comes back every now and then. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hey, everybody. It's Summer in Buffalo. How you guys doing today? I wanted to call because the funniest thing just happened to me and my daughter. For those who don't know, we live in an almost 200-year-old farmhouse near Buffalo, New York. And it's a very, very wintry day. And my daughter lost her wallet. It's a little tiny wallet. We couldn't find it anywhere, she thought, because she was shoveling snow and she made a path to like the mailbox and maybe it fell in the snow. And the driveway is right off of the side extension of the house. And it's usually the main entrance you use because that's where we park. And if you go in the door, there's the foyer. And then upstairs is a bedroom that has two windows. And I'm currently using it for my office because I work from home on Thursdays. So I say that because we looked everywhere for her wallet. We could not find it at all. We dug through the snow. We pulled out the metal detector because she has a little chain on it. And we were having no luck whatsoever. And today, she went outside and she said, well, I'm going to go dig through the snow a little more, see if I can find it. And I am working from home today, but I went to lunch about 11:20. I went downstairs, had my son. I made something to eat. I was sitting in the living room, completely nowhere near the upstairs bedroom that was closest to that side of the house. And my daughter went outside and she was looking around and she was near her car. And she says to me, and this is after she came running in while I was sitting in the living room. And she goes, Mom, were you just upstairs? And I went, no, I've been here for about the past 30 minutes because I'm on lunch and I'm hanging out here until I go back to work. So I wasn't upstairs. She goes, okay, because I was outside and I was looking for my wallet and I heard you shout at me from the second story window, move your car. So she said, okay. And she moved her car and voila, there was the wallet. So I was not upstairs at all. I hadn't been, like I said, for about 30 minutes. And that is the second time that whatever is in this house has helped us find things that we lost. So I don't know what that was. She swears up and down. She heard my voice. Sounded like it was coming directly from the second story window. She said that she said, I even, when I found my wallet, I stood up and I looked directly at the window because I was like, yay, I found it. And she's like, you were not there at all. This is not the first time that myself, my daughter, my mother, we have all heard a different voice say something to us, but it's always the voice of someone else in the family. So I've heard my daughter, I've heard my mother, I've heard my other daughter who's 8. My 8-year-old has heard me. Now my oldest daughter has heard myself. My mother's heard, like, it's just the whole family has heard whatever this thing is. And it's just so trippy, but I wanted to share. So anything that happens here, you know, I always call in, but you guys, I hope you have a great day. Be safe, you know, all that jazz, and, have a good one. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Summer, for the call. She's a very loyal listener of the show. Thoughts?
You know, she has called in before, and I'm like, that would freak me out. She sounds so calm about it.
She but has then, so many experiences.
If you have spirits in your house that are being helpful like that,
yeah,
that's kind of awesome, too.
Yeah.
So now I kind of get why she's not always totally freaked out by him.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the stories that she shared, I'm like, but, like, that's kind of sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, especially looking for your wallet would have your driver's license in it, your money, your debit card. Like, you kind of need it.
Yeah.
And it just helped. It's like, hey, I know where it's at. Move the car.
In so many cases, I'm afraid like the ghosts are going to like move the wallet on me, period. And like, where is it? Not going to find it. And like, eventually you're remodeling your house and it's like inside a wall or something.
Yeah. Or like all of a sudden it's just gone. And yeah. Then you look forever for it. You get your credit cards replaced. And then yeah. One day, a month later, there it is.
Yeah.
Which is, that's a really freaky thing.
It is.
Because it's like, okay, I looked there 20 times. It was not there.
And that's what I wonder about. And I've talked on this show about this before a few times. And I've talked about it with Todd a bit too, because Todd does a lot of investigating and such. And what are your thoughts on this? When things like that happen and something literally, okay, let's say you every day you have a place where you put your wallet and your keys. You get home, there's where they go. It's just, that's it. No question about it. That's where they're going to exist. You're not going to go put them in your vanity. You're not going to put them on your nightstand. You're going to put them anywhere else because you know you'll mess it up. You have your spot for some things. And you know you did it. You know you put it there and they're not there. And it's gone and it's just a clear as day spot. Let's just say it's a clear white table. And you'll see if there's something on it. And it's not there and it's gone. And you're missing it for days. And then suddenly one day you come back and it's there. What the hell is that?
I don't know, but that has... If you figure that out...
Does the item physically... My question is, does the item physically disappear? Does it move? Is it slid to some other area? Or is our vision manipulated or to some point where simply we are not seeing it?
I don't know. But that's happened to me before because it's like, oh, it's right here. And it's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. And then I don't know whatever happened to it. And then all of a sudden, months later, it's right there.
And that's the question. Like, what is doing that? What?
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, what's happening? Like, if you had like a hidden, if you had a Ring camera or something, which I have like 30 of them now around my property. So like, I'm good. Like, shit goes weird. I'm checking the fucking cameras. But
no kidding.
But now that exists. So I'm almost wondering, like, if things like that happen, what are you going to see? I mean, are we going to see, is the object going to just be gone? Is it, you know,
one frame? The weird thing is that everybody has the video cameras and it's not like they're picking up all kinds of stuff like that.
They're not yet. I mean, or they're not monitoring. And you don't like, and I don't have them in every spot. Like, but you know, I don't have cameras in like the bedroom, you know, or in the bathroom or something like that. There's certain places where there's, you know, there's privacy, but, and the thing is, that's where I end up putting my wallet and things like that, or like on my nightstand where the camera should theoretically be watching, but I'm not going to put a camera in that direction because I think my girlfriend may find it kind of uncomfortable. Why do you have a camera focusing on your bed? So we're not going to go and do that sort of thing. That's just a little bit weird. But it is weird, you know, where some of that stuff, it just kind of comes and goes. Here's a funny thing. Here's the fun antidote to this story. In the middle of this conversation, where we just picked it up, you guys don't realize this at home, but our conversation, and we're talking about things disappearing or being cut out, completely cut out. And we've never had that. The computer that Carol comes through, and it's dedicated solely, it is the Carol computer, literally.
Oh, thank you.
You have a computer in the studio that's just you.
And all of a sudden I was gone. Like, where does stuff go when it just disappears?
I heard a bloop bloop and like, what the fuck was that? And I said, is that you?
Disappeared.
And the computer was off. I'm like, what the hell was that? And I had to restart the thing and reboot it and it came back up. But that was just kind of weird.
Especially when you're having a conversation about where do things go and they just disappear. And then you just disappeared.
You just disappeared. A little bit spooky. Are things listening to us and doing what we're talking about? I don't know. It's weird. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony and crew. I'm actually calling from outside of Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. This is my first time calling. I am a huge fan. I've been listening to you guys for pretty much the entirety of COVID, and I always get freaked out, but I feel like it is an addiction and I can't stop. It's not a bad addiction to have. So anyhow, I wanted to tell you guys a couple of experiences that I've had, not me personally, but that family members have had. I feel like I'm like you, Tony, where on a scale of 1 to 10, from being, you know, not sensitive to very sensitive, I am probably in the lower end, 1 and 2, maybe 3. But my mom, who is very, very sensitive, has had many experiences. And I feel like maybe because of the adrenaline rush of hearing about ghost stories, or just my sheer interest in it, I feel like maybe that might make me more sensitive. But really, I've never had any sort of experiences myself. So we're actually going to talk about my dad's condo. Quite a few years ago, my dad was living with my sister and my brother at his condo, and they started telling me about weird happenings that were going on over there, and I hadn't experienced anything there. I've slept there by myself. I've, you know, visited when they weren't there, waiting for them to return home, and nothing has happened. But there was one instance when my sister was sleeping and she started hearing somebody crying. Mind you, her window was open. However, it was in the middle of the night and it sounded like somebody was within her bedroom crying. And she was so freaked out, she didn't open her eyes, didn't look around, and just forced herself to fall asleep. And so with that being said, like, I think within the same week or so, she had told us that in my dad's room, he came home one day and the curtains were completely pulled off of his wall. The nails, screws, whatever he had reinforcing the curtains up there, everything was pulled off as though somebody yanked it. And he had said that there is a little girl ghost there. So, obviously, my dad has some sensitivities as well. He said there was a little ghost girl there and he prayed for her to cross over and, you know, go to the light, so to speak. I'm not sure what, you know, she wasn't really tormenting them, or I don't believe it was really a bad energy, but she was there. So that's that story. Another incident, I lived outside of town and it was Boxing Day. And my brother had called me in a panic and he was freaking out. And I asked him what happened. He said, I'm in the hallway of the condo. I still have shampoo in my hair. I am in a towel. Something is in the house. And mind you, I'm coming for brunch. So it is during the day. It is like early, not really early morning, but close to mid morning. And he is literally, when I arrived, he was standing outside of the door and would not go back in until I came inside with him so he could, of course, finish his shower. We went inside. I even went into the bathroom with him. He went into the shower and he said that he was here, like he heard banging. He was just so freaked out. He couldn't really explain what the noise was, but it was so distinct and it was so close to him, as though somebody was in the bathroom with him. Now, the last story I have for this phone call is my sister and my brother and my dad, nobody was home. And when they had left the house, everything was fine. Nothing, you know, abnormal or freaky happened. They came home and one of them went up to the bathroom and literally all the shampoo bottles, all of the body wash bottles, whatever was in the was on like the organizing shelves within the tub and shower area. Everything was thrown within the tub. So the tub was full of all of their toiletries. And like I said, they didn't feel anything malicious or with ill intent. However, all of these random things were going on and it freaked them the heck out. And it's, you know, I am so afraid of the paranormal, but I have this huge addiction to wanting to watch scary things, wanting to know all of these scary stories. So I listen so attentively, and then I think about it at night and I freak myself out, and I'm a mom and I have, like, I'm married. My husband thinks I'm crazy, but it's just one of those things. Anyways, hope you guys like my stories. I'll call in with other stories as I think about them. I love your show. I think you guys are absolutely awesome. You've gotten me through COVID and all of the, you know, pandemic frustrations. And I never thought that I would say something related to the paranormal would be a good thing for me, because I'm a chicken shit. But I just wanted to say a huge thank you. And I love you, Carol. I think you are hilarious. And all of you, the entire group, you guys are so awesome. Take care and be safe.
Thank you for your story. And I want to say this too, because I hear from so many of you guys saying, you know, thank you for helping us get through COVID. I want to thank you guys for helping us get through COVID too, because,
oh my God, yes,
it works both ways.
I mean, I want to say thanks as well, because, like, this whole year has been so tough for everybody, and it's given me kind of a break from a lot of tough other things in my life. So I totally get where she's coming from. But I also think a show like this, like, there's so many episodes that you could get lost in it for weeks.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of like, I don't want to listen because I have to go to bed, and then I'm going to get all freaked out. Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm going to do when we're done with this episode, is go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lay there and think about it, and you're like, I can't think about it. Then you spook yourself. So I totally get where she's coming from.
Well, it's kind of funny, because I'm someone where when I do something, I want to create the biggest and the best version of it, no matter what. It's just like, that's just what I do. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it to the nth degree. And when I started the show, it was really because I was sitting in my garage working on projects, and I would listen to old episodes of Art Bell. And I like, oh, this is fun. This is great. But there's only like so many years of ghost stories you could listen to that were online. And at the end of the day, you're like, I don't know, 20 some hours maybe. And I went through all of it, and I thought, there's got to be more people than just me that want to hear this stuff. You know, and because they had hundreds of thousands of listens on those few episodes. I'm like, well, what if we did it? What if I made a show that did this exact same thing? But it's current day, and it's all that. And here at the end of the day, after having that idea going, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do that bigger and better than anybody else. And
you've always been that guy.
And at the end of the day, we have created the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. It's just like, yeah, we did that. I didn't even like realize we did that until, like, I don't know, probably a couple months ago, quite honestly, where I'm like, we did that. That's kind of weird. It's cool. I'm proud of it. But it's like, I wasn't even thinking that until we kind of got there.
But you could seriously listen for weeks.
Oh, God, yeah.
Constantly, without stopping. You'd never run out.
I don't even know what it would equate to, because I don't even know how many hours there are at this point, but I know it's more than anybody else has ever made. And you could probably sit there for months, quite honestly, and not stop with content. If you listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you probably got damn near at least half a year of audio of just listening to the show and everybody's ghost stories and our rambling and banter and insight into it and what it is. But it's such a weird concept, though, to say and think. I mean, I say it, you know, and, you know, we would all, you know, in radio back in the day, we would say positioning statements like today's best variety or something. And it's just all fluff. It doesn't fucking mean shit. But in reality here,
it is too, today's best variety. Come on.
But here,
nobody has better variety.
We literally have the largest audio archive of ghost stories ever made. And that's not like fluff. That's like a fact. And that is just a weird thing to think of just having been created out of, you know, rooms in my house over the last 8 years. But we've done it. And it's just, we would not have been done without this audience and everyone being so loyal and great. But it's just kind of a weird, crazy thing to think about, you know, and just to be a part of that idea of what that is, because it's, I mean, it will live on far beyond our show ever. Whenever we're done with it, or if Harper takes it on and we're not on the air anymore, this thing is going to keep there. People will listen to this when we're dead. And that's just a weird thing to think about.
That is a weird thing. Now that you put that thought into my brain.
Yeah. 100 years from now, people will listen to the show and go, what were they thinking about back then on this topic? And it's a weird thing to think about. So 100 years from now, thank you for listening to the show. We greatly appreciate it. I hope you become.
We are so dead, by the way.
Please become an EPP of my great, great grandchildren. I'm guessing the rate has probably increased a little bit from $5 a month with inflation at 100 years. Maybe, I don't know, it's like $500 a month now. I don't know.
I don't know. Blame it on Harper.
But it Harper has everything to do with it. And she's in a home somewhere poking someone with a cane going, get the fuck out of my porch. You know,
that is crazy to think, because your daughter would be 108 in this scenario. True.
Well, in theory, it could happen. I don't know. I mean, who knows? But it's just it's weird. I'm honored to be a part of that. But it's far bigger than us. And that's the neat thing of just everybody contributing to this this thing that we've made, because there's never been a time in history where you could make this either. Of creating something like what we've done, because the platform didn't exist, the way to share the stories did not exist, and I think just the comfort level in people to share their stories did not exist. So it's a really unique time for this sort of a format or a show to go on and to thrive. So and COVID has made it really interesting for everybody to kind of come together more than anything else. It's a big turning point, I think. But there you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening and being a part of the program. If you like the show here in the 2020s, please support it and keep us on the air. Go and sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Keep us on the air. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, archived episodes. It's all there for you. We greatly appreciate your support. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.